Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and gentlemen. Welcome to Weatherdale. This is the ordinary council meeting held here at Weatherdale on the 22nd of April. Today, 2026, 10th April. And we have a circulated agenda. In accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations, I must advise all attendees that this meeting is being recorded. All persons attending the meeting have to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and the language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. We'll commence the meeting in the usual way with prayers and we'll welcome Reverend Dennis Cousins to recite those.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dennis.
I'd just like to mention that a member of the community, Faye Moore, passed away on the 19th of this month, and Faye had been somebody who had brought up in the Colebrook area, and in the last year or so of her life, she was very fortunate to be able to be part of the multi-purpose residential care. Faye had had some tough times throughout her life, the loss of loved ones, and had a great group of people with her at the end, so we just need to feel with the family. Let's come together and pray. God of love and care, you lead your people and watch over your creation. We pray for all living creatures, for those who are vulnerable and for those whose lives are marked by uncertainty or fear. May they know your protection and peace. We pray for the earth that sustains us, for fields and forests, for waters and growing things. May your creation be renewed and sustained. We pray for places where the path is difficult, for communities that face hardship, for those who feel lost and alone, and for all who long for safety and hope out of the ravages of war. May your presence bring comfort and guidance. And as we reflect upon those words and the people within the whole part of this world in which we live, we remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much, sir. All the very best for you.
Thank you. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to land, water, and to community, and pay respects to elders, past and present. Attendance today is complete. The minutes of the council meeting that was held on the 25th of March have been circulated and they're submitted now for confirmation. Do I have a leave?
I can
thank you, Councillor Fish, and seconded Councillor Campbell. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. There's no issues there. In relation to the special committees of council minutes, they are from Chauncey Vale, Campania, Hall Management and Lake Dolvilton. That those special committees of council minutes be received.
I can second.
You'll leave that, Councillor Fish?
Yes.
Yeah, and second Councillor Blackwell. Any issues there? Motion, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Those minutes are received. And then the recommendations contained within those special committees of council minutes. Do I want to move it with that?
I move.
Thank you.
Second.
Deputy, and thank you, Councillor Bishop. Any issues? What's the vote? Those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it. We'll move over then to notification of council workshops. There was a workshop held in relation to the budget and the arrangements and decision-making framework, and the recommendation is that that information be received.
Move.
Thank you, Deputy. Seconded, Councillor Blackburn. Any issues there? Motion, those in favour?
Aye.
There are no questions on notice. Questions without notice. Well, here's an opportunity for councillors to ask questions relating to council business. Councillor Fish?
No.
Councillor Phillip?
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight the fact that seems to be quite a lot of fly-tipping going on, particularly around the Mud Walls Road and surrounds. Fly-tipping.
Fly-tipping.
Fly-tipping, dumping rubbish.
Fly-tipping,
I didn't know that was a term. I'll learn something today then. But it's quite extreme in some instances. You know, we had a double bed and a fridge dumped on the side of the road, coming round a blind corner, so it's almost, causing accidents. People are dumping tyres and things like that. So I know that we suggest it's not our responsibility to clean that, but I think, certain these big white goods are certainly, potential to cause quite serious accident if they happen to hit that. The other thing is the safety barrier still hasn't been repaired from the last time someone went through it. And whether or not that's related to a subsequent accident where someone was, upside down in the car in the gully there, I don't know. But if we can perhaps have a chat to whoever needs to replace that guardrail, would also be useful. So I don't know whether we can put some signs around just to say, potentially dumping rubbish is illegal or something, just to make people think twice, but also not sure whether it's, the increase in tip fees or whatever else, but, there does seem to be quite a bit of it going on at the moment.
Any matters you want to see?
No, I think we can certainly follow up. See ya. certainly do the referral through to DSG. Maybe we can look at a joint signage proposal. Just put up some regular legal dumping of some rubbish as a joint activity or something, just to.
And even on the way in today, I saw someone on the side of the road just throwing all their rubbish into Hardwick House. So, they pull up the side of the road, dump it all, and then drive on.
There's two incidents on the Midlands Highway a couple of weeks ago.
And that was in a Fairbrothers work vehicle as well. So, they're obviously not shy about the consequences. So, it just seems to be accepted practice at the moment.
But then the majority being DSG or Stormway, but
I don't know whether there's potential for waiving some of the dumping fees at the tip to avoid having to get other people to come and pick this stuff up. It probably costs more than foregoing $10 for a disposal fee, but potentially there's something we could explore there.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, then, because whilst we don't get a lot of money out of disposal fees, I think we get about $40,000 a year in gate fees. By reducing the amount of income that we get through the gate, obviously increases the standard waste management levy that's then payable across the board.
Well, perhaps it's a case of, if people ring up and plead their case, they can have a fee waiver. But I just think if they get there and they can't afford it, then they dump it on the side of the road and we have to pick it up anyway. So it might just be something to explore.
Very good. Councillor Campbell.
Mount Seymour Paul. Has that been put on the rate list as yet?
On the right, yes.
Yeah. Did you think on the right?
Don't know. Well, question on notice.
The reason
I have a feeling it has to get that 3-year outstanding right option. But I'll rule it in firm.
I've had a number of people making a comment. If people don't do something about that hall and activate it and get a committee in there, it'll go the same way as Bain.
I noticed a lot more timber has been removed from the walls.
And that's why people are getting concerned. And how is council going with tyre recycling?
Tyre recycling? Well, we have an arrangement with whoever comes and picks them up, and we pay a fortune for them to go to Bridgewater to be shredded. It's a very expensive exercise.
And the
So we receive them at the waste transfer station together with payment of a fee, and then basically the fee that we charge is equivalent to what it costs us to then dispose of them through the recycling at Bridgewater.
And the third question I got, I nearly forgot about it, but I saw someone in the hall today, so I better ask it. How do we encourage younger people to run for council? There's a number of people who've had a go at me in various places that very shortly there'll be 3 councils at least that are over, that are in their 80s.
So, Bill Gatt are currently finalising a public campaign in the lead up to the election. So they'll have advertisements and whatever else. There will be some community information training sessions, which we'll coordinate ourselves, but the collateral or the actual material will be provided by LDAP. So hopefully as part of that we can promote them and try and encourage young people to participate and get a better understanding of local government. But none of that can be finalised until the state sort out their situation with this compulsory training for new candidates and what that might involve. So we've got a little bit of time, but time is running out. But through promotion of those information sessions, we can try and put it on Facebook and all of that good stuff so the younger people are aware.
We could introduce a mandatory age limit, which would probably be the most effective way of getting rid of all you old people.
Statutory senility.
Do you want to go and climb down Mountain Head first?
Yeah, longer term, Councillor Campbell, we have begun with the junior mayor policy, junior deputy mayor policy, which hopefully might engender some interest within the younger people about council and the careers in local government.
Or
general. but that's something which an issue that we've taken. There we go. I don't know about what do you rate as younger as a matter of interest, Councillor Campbell?
Come again?
What do you rate as younger? What age group are you saying fits younger persons for council?
Anything under 80.
Yeah. All right. Sneak in.
You're younger.
Sneak in. Is that your lot?
That's
you
my lot.
You've got many years to go.
Many, many years to go. Many, many.
Councillor Blackrock.
Councillor
for me,
thank you.
Councillor
Mickey.
Three things, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think we've got to the stage that we've got to consider an application for grant assistance. I think we have not received any useful rainfall certainly since the end of last year, and certainly last spring was less than a normal spring. And while that won't fix the problem, I think it's showing support for our farming community, and there might be some relief there regarding transport, water cartage, things like that. The reports I'm getting, certainly from the Jericho area and the Kempton area, is that dams there have not had inflows for 2 years, and sometimes much longer than that. And I guess this is all part of global warming, etc., or whatever. But I think we need to show some support for our farming fraternity, and I think at the June meeting that we seriously consider applying for drought relief.
Craig Dam hasn't been filled.
The other one is the Paul Andrew. Have we got any closer to closure on the contract?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we, Tim and I, had a final meeting with our project manager, and he's putting the final completions in place.
Right. Okay. So that's in the...
That's in the jury before the end of this financial year.
Thank you. The last one, I'd just like to congratulate David Richardson, because the bitumen edging on the roads has been a great benefit. Great benefit for saving the bitumen that's on the road itself. But the edging, and in years past, I think we've done it in gravel, but that just doesn't hold. And I think my question is, do you intend doing it, or have you got enough in the budget to do some more to other roads, because it does extend the life of the road, in my opinion.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Busy. Yes, there is, just to answer your question, there is money in the budget going forward to continue that program. So, we've obviously targeted the Worsford roads.
Yes, of course.
The jet roads to start with, but that will continue on, as well as we put a fairly significant amount in for shoulder grading works as well, so that is putting the gravel in. I went to a quarry yesterday and thought we got suitable material, but we'll be okay for doing that.
Right.
So it works. But obviously on the corners and such where they continue to wear, the preference would be to put the asphalt. Shoulders there, but the rest of the roads, like Woodstar Road, for example, the whole road needs shoulder.
Yes.
And obviously, I could spend the whole budget just on Woodstar Road and asphalt. So, now we're going to roll out the program as well.
That would be good. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Just to address Councillor Vistie's first point there, a bit more. A better response to that question. He seeks that the council perhaps make application for drought assistance. I don't know if there's a specific process for that. Is there for councils to do that? Or
We'd certainly have to do some research in terms of where, what, the, whether the feds or the state are doing in this space. Council doesn't generally apply for drought funding. But it can try and facilitate the process. Depending on, mine goes back many years ago, and we actually had to do some case studies with some landowners to actually demonstrate the financial impact. Councillor Fish might recall, what's your name?
Jim Porter.
They were lovely back throats.
Jim Porter.
We worked closely with him to do that. Basically, to open up all his financials to be able to demonstrate that.
It's not an easy process, I know.
But the applications are generally lodged by the landowners, but we can try and facilitate and assist with whatever.
Yeah.
I know one farming family out at Tunnock have actively or are actively writing to all the ministers and all the members of Lions to bring it to their attention that something needs to be done. So
perhaps as a first step, the next meeting that we write to the Agriculture Minister, I think it's Kerry, isn't it?
Primary Industries,
right.
Joe Cornish, was it?
Yeah, anyway, and as a first step, and recommend that they...
We'll see what anyone's doing in this space.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for your rights.
Just two questions to do with just updates. So, Grant, you'll be the person. The youth facility, how are we going with that at the moment? And the other one would be the petrol station, Tas Petroleum, out on the corner of the highway. Have we heard whether we've got to change our minds or anything to do with that?
Thank you, Deputy. I'll start with the first question in relation to the justice facility. We are due to exchange our evidence on the 29th of this month. Louise Brown will task for that before she departs this Friday. We got some news yesterday from our solicitor that we had two active appellants in this appeal. We had Rebecca Wilkie and Ross Lucas, and we had Robert and Kerry Bersusian. On Monday, Wilkie and Lucas have applied as joiners to the Bersusian appeal. So the Bersusian appeal is on three grounds, the attenuation code being the separation distance between Tas Botanics and the application site, the gun club, and the third ground of appeal was in relation to the road that requires a DA for the Brighton Council. We have not opposed the joining of those two appeals into one appeal. It narrows the grounds appeal to three. Once we have the evidence exchanged, we'll actually know whether the date is set for hearing, and we'll have some qualification around the length of the hearing as well. They set aside 5 days initially. We think with the narrowing of the grounds of appeal, we'll probably come down to a 3 day hearing max or a four. Good news for council, great news for Louisa insofar as grounds of appeal, the far more defined than we're under the Wilkie appeal. Second point you raised, Deputy, was in relation to Tas Petroleum, DA 25106 from last year. I did speak with the proponent yesterday, Nathan Thurlow, give a second update. The Commission has 28 days upon receipt of a request for information from Council to provide a determination and review of the decision. Tim Robbins, the advisor from TBC, came back yesterday and said to me, we'll have a decision within the next few days. He couldn't outline what the decision was going to be, but I anticipate by Friday we'll have some outcome in relation to what happens next. So, timely question, thank you. I can provide more updates once I get that information.
And when you do get that information, will you circulate that with all of us?
Absolutely, yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
So what's the timing issue that the TPC are going to give us advice about?
So once a request has been made for the TPC to look at our decision, they've got 28 days in which to provide a response. So Nathan Thurlow yesterday, because we've got outside 28 days on my calculations, so they've confirmed that we'll have a decision from the TPC next few days. So I'll anticipate by Friday, 24th, we'll have an outcome.
And what will that decision be?
But they might say, well, we think the council is correct in this decision.
Yep.
Or the council should maybe review its decision.
So they can send it back to us, but they?
And there's no compulsion, there's no appeal in this situation at all. So we might say, well, we're not prepared to review our decision. We and it's also a stage as maybe the DSG looks upgrades for that junction and move us forward. Because that was one of the primary grounds why in relation to road user safety. So when it comes back to council, maybe next meeting, we can, or a workshop, we can certainly look at what a response might be.
Very well. We'll await that. No issues from me. Now, I must warn councillors in relation to pecuniary interest, in accordance with the requirements of Part 2, Regulation 8, the local government regional procedures for regulations. Any councillors that do have a pecuniary interest must indicate whether they have or are likely to have that on any item in the agenda. So councillors are requested to give me that advice if that is the case in respect to their own personal situations. Is there any pecuniary interest to advise?
Not from me.
Thanks, Dan. Very good. Supplementary items to the agenda. Are there any supplementary items to the agenda? Neil? No, this is from me. Public questions are scheduled for 10:30, which is near enough to now.
Might have left the ladies now in the kitchen.
As I said earlier, Julia has an apology. She wasn't coming today because there's little in the agenda.
Did you have anything?
Yeah, just three things.
Yep, exactly.
Firstly, sort of compliments to the issue I raised last time regarding the Eddington place down at Dago. It's good to see driving past a day or so later. There's a flock of sheep there, and someone's been, the guys have been in there, and they've cleared it up, which is really, really quite good. So, well done. The next thing, and I think I've raised it before. The two lights on the bollards out the front of, or the piers out the front of the council chambers, always seems to have different coloured lights in the lights on the post op, which is maybe I'm a bit anal, but I sort of look at it and go, surely they could do the same on both of them. And the second thing, or the third thing in relation to the front of the council chambers, I always walk past and there's water across the pavement there, and the gutters are full of water. I'm thinking, with the water restrictions coming in, has anyone looked at that? Is it a watering system that's causing it, or is it a leaking pipe, or it just seems to be perpetually there?
Don't want to comment on that, we're only talking about it this morning.
Yes, I suspect it is, so we've got to review the timing of the decision. So obviously it comes on early in the morning or late at night, and it's wrong from that. So obviously when it's not impacted, we can now. I would have been on the summer mode, so it was obviously soaking it up at the end of time. So you are correct.
And the lights, yeah.
And the drawers. Oh, first I'm aware of the lights, but we can certainly...
Early morning dog walkers, that's all.
So what is it? There are two...
Two different styles of lights.
Yeah, there's a light on top of each of the piers. Okay. And one's warm white, and the other's cool white.
Okay. What would you prefer?
Probably the same as the street lamps, which is warm white.
Warm white. All right, well...
Sorry, it's just the architect coming out.
I maybe talk to Damien Rickey to see what he wants because of the dark sky business.
I'm sure the warm white will match it.
Yeah. What did you say, warm?
Warm white.
Warm white. Oh, well,
warm white.
Warm white.
Warm white.
We're getting the benefit of
expert advice there for nothing. So we might as well stick there. Did you say you had three methods? Or?
Yeah,
that was the three.
The first one was a compliment.
Ah!
Yeah. The second two were
a compliment. All right. Thank you for that.
Can't miss compliments, Mr. Bean.
No. Hello.
Do we want to confirm? Yes, do we want to confirm that we've got all the plaques right? Dave found two that needed to be reversed, and they've been
well,
done.
Well, I didn't like to raise that, but have they been done?
Yes.
But have it, good.
No, we're just making sure that we've got all the. Dave said they found two that have been reversed that need to be done.
I think
they're
done.
Right, so they're done as well.
Hello.
First one, the road one. We're talking about down where the gun club is.
Yep.
And that road, I mean, a lot of people have commented that it's bouncing more because it's been undermined from the top. It hasn't rained for a long time, but from the top side down, and it gets worn out, so it could collapse at some time into the future. But I don't know whether you're still checking that road there.
Yeah, I'm aware of the section you're talking about. I traveled over it yesterday, and I said to our boys, call me when I get to make sure it is.
Yeah, it's got much worse. It's got that much more traffic with Google Earth sending everyone our way.
Yeah.
And I had a second one. This is just letting you know that I'm still a board member of the community bank at Sorrell, and we've been moving and bringing, giving money out into areas and put over $1 million back into the community. And we're coming up into the rural sectors now, so we're doing. In the next couple of months, it's going to be Levendale Hall, Levendale Food Club, Woodstar Hall, the History Room, and the football club will be rolling out and having signage put up. And we pay a certain amount every year, $500 goes up every year. So if you just help add on to what's available to the committee, and we've been out to the Forest Coal Book on that side, so we're getting heading in this way. But yeah, just letting you know that that's going on and there's help going out into those areas.
Is that signage?
Yes.
It's advertising.
Yes.
And the bank pays to have a community.
So if you bank in that community bank, if you bank there, then we can just give out more money. And that's going to put out.
No, sorry. I may have got it totally wrong, but are you putting community Bendigo Bank signs on these buildings and they're paying for that?
No, not on the heritage building, but
I've been here. I assume that I'm not sure whether there's any policy or planning issues that need to be met in relation to that, but it might be worthwhile checking.
Well, I did ask before and there didn't seem to be, so just been doing it in a lot of areas. And,
yeah. I don't know the answer, but I would say caution because we wouldn't want to see the Bendigo Bank being frowned at by whoever
professionally put up, we aren't doing
it
ourselves,
they're
not
professionally,
so that they meet all the standards
required. Would that be the situation, Grant? Is there any issues there?
Third-party signs, this would be a third-party sign, madam, they are contentious because it doesn't relate to a business that's conducted on that site, so it's a third-party sign. So the planning scheme does have rules that apply to those signs. More than likely, it would require a planning approval. So, I can give you details and we can show about that outside the meeting.
Oh, so it would then, because in the other areas,
Thank you. I was in the Scroll Council as well.
Shane
Miles
did my
bit with the council as well. Thank you. Well, glad you raised that. Yeah, that's good. And there's been a money coming to people as a result of that, which is great too. Yeah, it'll work. Make sure it's all according to oil and there's no issues there. That's good. Yeah, great. Thank you. Any other matters? Anything else?
Sorry, I was just thinking, last month, Christine Boyce brought up about the North Arlington Road and the cattle up there. And I know Grant went and sort of followed up there and just sort of wondering if there's anything coming from that.
Well,
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Sorry, I did speak with, I met that lady, I was meeting with an inspector at the site, and clearly there's evidence of broken fence lines where livestock are kind of thoroughfare between one property across the road onto another property. I made that known to council's animal control officer, Rachel Collis, and it was an emerging issue. 2 days after that, I got a text from Christine advising of livestock within the road. I got a picture, sent that to Rachel. So she was going to approach the landowner in relation to the fencing, because the fencing there is it's non-existent. And I can well see there is an issue of road safety. I'm hoping it's in there, but I'll follow up with Rachel and see where that's lying at this stage.
Any other members of the public? Yes, of course you can.
I was just wondering when the fence was going to be done between the school, old school and the hall.
Yes.
What's happening there? I'm just wondering. No. Because I'm there walking into the other of their tenants.
So we're in 2 lines. Obviously, we can construct like a farm style fence along the new boundary. But we're conscious that the property's on the market, and depending on who purchases it, they might desire a paling fence. So we're thinking maybe we wait to see whether the ownership transfers.
Mm-hmm.
But in the interim, we certainly have allocated $20,000 in this year's draft budget to start with some new play equipment and prettying it up a bit. So. But that's where we're sitting with the fencing at the moment.
Do you, anybody else have anything they want to ask or questions?
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Well, look, thank you very much for that. That's public question time. We will now close that session and move on. If you want to keep going. Well, we've got a couple of planning issues. No.
Let's do this one.
All right. Well, we'll go up to item 12.3.1.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
So moved.
Thank you. We're now acting as a planning.
It's a truly active use down in Seal. So it doesn't need to be.
No. So 12.3.1, this is information in respect to the municipal seal being applied and the application of the municipal seal in respect to those properties there listed in Baghdad and Plimpton. That information needs to be received, and I have a move over Councillor Vitti, is that you?
Yep.
Yeah, and second by Councillor Blackrock. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. As much as that was a family authority session, I doubt it clue. We'll go to officers' report. Charlie, you've got a cup of tea. What do you think?
Thank you very much.
Second, a cup of fish. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The ayes have it, and we'll adjourn at 20 minutes to the end. Thank you. We have recommenced, and big thank yous to the ladies at Zilla, the webinar board, and we've done it again. It's very nice.
I've got to keep you on.
We are up to. The officers' reports, and we have the first one, Minister, the Manager of Infrastructure and Works, David Richardson, and his report is here. Do I have a mover?
I'd like to move it.
Thank you, Councillor.
Second.
And second, the Deputy. Any issues or questions for the Manager, Infrastructure and Works?
Dave.
Deputy.
Yeah, so the road counter on Buckland Road, I find that disappointing, those numbers, but if it was done in January, February, it would have been a totally different story with all the tourists going. But yeah, so that will just be put to bed now and we won't worry about anything else, or are you going still looking into that other money maybe? Or?
Yeah, no, thank you, Councillor Dudgeon. Yeah, look, it was, to myself, it wasn't really a surprise. I hear all the time that, you know, there's so much traffic out there. But when you actually travel the road yourself, you rarely come across another car. That's the reality of it. And we did deliberately target the Easter period. So to try and pick up that there would be, you know, a lot of people using that road, but yeah, it did not come back that way. 580 per week as an average is not dissimilar to what's on, to use in, as an example, York Plains Road. Now, there's a couple of trains of thought there in that if it was sealed, the traffic would probably double, because people may be avoiding that road because it is unsealed, that section. So to answer your question in regards to are we going to go to the gold and apply, I think yes. I have to have the application in basically by next week.
Okay.
I'm still pretty keen to have a go at it, but I suspect that given the low traffic count, I'll probably reject it. So we'll put some effort into the application and see how we go. And then, you know, obviously, if it was successful, well, it still comes back to council for a decision as to whether or not we proceed.
Thank you.
What section of road is your top of the list to turn into bitumen at the moment?
Probably that one,
yeah.
In the Buckland Road section, so it's 7.4 kilometres long,
yeah.
Where it's unsealed, so it's sealed from up to Woodsdale Road and when you turn off and then out to the Glamorgan Spring Bay boundary.
Yeah.
And the rest of there, the Buckland Road is sealed, their section is. So it's sort of the missing link, but yeah, I would say that is our next big picture one.
Mm.
As such, my cost estimates are around the $2.8 to $3 million to do that. And yeah, initially, yeah, I thought it was more than that,
yeah.
But I've reviewed those figures. And, you know, council only have to have to, if they're successful under the grant to the feds, pay a portion of that. It's 20%, I think it is. I think so, yes. It's worth having a crack at. And
Yeah. One of the problems is Google Earth. They send tourists up that road.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. And they shouldn't. But how you change it, I don't know.
Google Maps is a funny thing. You know, we raise a lot of issues with Google Maps in that they're incorrect. They even have incorrect road names. They have incorrect streets and so on. And it's very challenging to get a response.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just like they're at the lake telling caravanners that they can turn left, where the sign clearly says no left turn.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but you do still pass several caravans. Well, I'm on these roads probably more than some others. You do still pass caravans regularly going that way to the east coast. They they don't mind that they go slower than.
I'm not quite sure whether the old rental car thing where it was prohibited to you to drive on a gravel road.
It's still.
That's not correct.
No, I don't know that.
The rule with rental cars is you're advised to stay on sealed roads, and if you're going on gravel roads, you must advise the rental company that you're going to take the car on gravel roads. If not, your insurance is not valid.
Okay, there you go.
That's right.
Any other matters for staff?
Yep. I notice Englewood Road is rapidly showing rocks through the surface.
and a number of other roads down that way. When will you be reseeding that area, going right down towards Swanson, Stoner, all down around that area, now that you've got the quarry down that way? So.
Yes, so you're correct, Councillor Campbell. We have a quarry, and we've always had a quarry, but we've just upgraded to what's called a level 2 activity, which will allow us to now crush some quantities of material out of that quarry and resheet the roads in that in the vicinity of obviously Stonehenge, that area. I'm still waiting on the permit. I haven't got the physical permit in my hand from the EPA to say you're good to go, the green light basically, and as soon as that occurs I'll have crushes in there, crushing some material.
And the other concern was there at Woodsdale, with the church up on the hill, and quite a few people park up on that paddock around the church. There's one entrance you can come in off Woodsdale Road, no problem at all, but the other entrance is dirt track and ditch. And if you get a lot of cars parked up there, you're forced to go out across the ditch to get out. Can you take a look at that? It may require a light to go in that ditch, it may require a culvert or whatever. That's your problem. But they would like it fixed so that they can drive out towards Woodsdale and they can drive out towards Liverpool.
Yeah, no problem. I can certainly look into that. One of the questions I have is what's the actual site distance like on the so where they're driving out onto Woodsdale Road, is it appropriate?
Oh, I can answer that one. Yeah. It's not good.
That's right.
Being a person that attended that church, it's not good.
Right.
And that washed away in the heavy rains from a few years ago. And it's been like that for a while. Yeah, four wheel drive's fine. They can get over that, but a little car like mine,
That's my only concern is, you know, if we're going to be encouraging traffic to go back onto Woodsdale Road, we've got to make sure it's safe.
Yeah, and even if you're heading to Levendale, when you come out from church to head to Levendale, it's on a bend, and you have the tin shed there.
All right.
I can certainly check that out, Councillor Campbell, and if it's appropriate, yes, we'll do some work there, but if it's not, we might look at closing that entrance.
That would get a scream.
It's all about safety.
Anything else?
Yeah, just some feedback for you on the team about the footpath and campaign. It's been very well received. So
that's good. Very good, thank you. There's some actual work. It's just got to be done up the side of the pier on the edge of the road, and got to be completed. The missing link.
And the campaign you're at ground, how's that looking for the Friday the 8th?
No, very good.
Yep.
I was there yesterday. The plan is for it to be, I'd say, 98% complete by this Friday.
Good.
We're just going to have get the occupancy certificate next week, we're hoping so. And no doubt there will be some minor works that we'll have to complete out of that. But basically, yes, we'll be good to go. So the vinylators have held us up, finally turned up, vinyl's down, electrician's finishing today, half my mini grandstand has arrived at the depot. The other half is in Melbourne, allegedly. So we can get that put together, hopefully by then, and should be good to go.
Good.
That's good to know.
Tim is very excited about that night.
I think we all are.
Any other questions today?
The main driveway.
The driveway climbing stroke in camp.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Works have been completed. Yes, it was a very expensive little exercise.
Move on.
Here we go, please.
It's very, very challenging.
Yes.
Yes.
But now that it's done, you can tear up my telephone number and you never need to ring me up again. No, he's a nice bloke. But, well, I think to some extent, no further comments. Done.
Despite those.
Completion of the Kempton track to Mufu, any date there roughly for when that might?
End of the financial year. That helps. So, we are progressing. As you're probably aware, the curb and gutter and footpath section up Burnett Street, all prepped up, ready to go. We're just waiting on the contractor to come and do it. Put the concrete and the curb and gutter and footpath in that section, but the boys are progressing towards move through every day.
And the other thing I was going to ask you about, in relation to the Melton Mowbray Park there, the trees, I don't know whether you've ordered any, but I planted a couple of perennials, or three perennials, Valerianas, opposite, and didn't give them much attention, but they have survived magnificently, and I just thought that might be a good breed of tree if you haven't already got them, because you can buy them bare rooted, and they'll seem to battle on pretty good in that area.
Yeah, the prune species do. We've got some, we just recently put some up at, well, last year at Tunbridge as well, and they are pretty hardy trees, so I actually have planned to go down to the nursery in the next week or two, because I've got to buy some more for Tunbridge and for that park, the Melbourne one, and some other plants for over at Campania. So,
yeah, well, if you're considering, I'd also ask you to consider the Prunus Valeriana, because they do go pretty good.
So, I'm not even going to try and write that down. How do you spell it?
Prunus. P-A-U-N-U-S. Valeriana. I think it's B-L-E-A-R-I-A-N-A. Like,
trees. Just put trees.
Prunus species.
I'll give you the common name, Jimmy. You can put that in.
Common name is trees.
Right. Well, that's the report. Is there any other questions? No. We have a mover, and a seconder from the deputy. That report be received and the information noted. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
And against? The ayes have it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
We now go over to the Heritage Project Program Report. Do I have a move?
I'll move.
Thank you. And seconded?
Campbell.
Councillor Campbell, very good. Any questions or issues to be raised on that?
Councillor Blackwell and myself, we attended the Heartways through Broadmarsh bus tour and we did have 80 participants. It was a fantastic day. We were there very early in the morning and we didn't leave till 5 in the afternoon or thereabouts, and it was very well received. And next week we're meeting with the Heritage Highway, our committee, and looking at planning some more things in other towns that we can do that were similar to what we did. Alan did a fantastic job in being the tour guide. Mm. The Broadmarsh ladies did a fantastic job in feeding us all. It was beautiful to sit in the Valleyfield Gardens on a very lovely autumn day and enjoying a drop of Invercargill and wine. It was a lovely day. So yes, so that's what I'd just like to say about that.
If I might add too, that they sold all the tickets on the bus prior to the event, that they managed to fit a couple of extras that turned up on the day. So that was really good.
Very good.
Yeah.
They did a good job. All right, any other issues? Put the motion out in favour.
Aye.
Thank you. The NRM unit manager has provided a report as well. Should that information be received? Information noted. We'll have a move to that.
I can move.
Thank you, Councillor Fish, and thank you, Councillor Fish, to the second in. Any observations, issues, questions? No? Very good. Information. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Information is received and noted. Animal management officers.
I'll move forward.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconder.
And I know there's quite a few sheep wandering around the road.
Yeah, sorry.
I know there's quite a few sheep are wandering around on the road.
Whereabouts?
And the last lot I came across was on Inglewood Road, and I got a feeling that they were Leeburns.
Well, it's about
half an hour's time.
Yeah, it's quite a common thing, those sheep being on the road.
Yeah, I went up to Ian's house. He didn't appear
to
be there.
No.
I know the report that the sheep were on the road.
Nice pick there for
them.
Is there a nice pick there for them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that being reported to, or importantly, to the animal management officer, or what happens there with those sheep? Do we know?
Through Mr. Mayor, I'm not aware of a complaint personally. I was away last week on some leave, but there may have been some escalation from Rachel, possibly. I can follow up.
Did you know that I'm
not very fast with that. I'm sure Ian will get them off the road once he becomes aware they're on the road.
Question, Mr. Bean.
Yes.
When the dog's impounded and the owner collects it, do they pay a contractor or do they pay the council?
No, they pay us.
Pay the council, and you advise the contractor that it's been paid.
No, we don't have a contractor.
Yeah, but don't they go to animal somewhere, dog's home?
Oh, if the dog's home.
Yeah.
If we impound them and keep them locally in our pound.
Yeah, but only for a certain time, don't we?
Depending on the likelihood of being claimed.
Yes.
Behaviour of the dog. It's a range of stuff, the day of the week even,
right.
But it's impounded. But once it goes to the dog's home, then they pay the dog's home.
Right. They pay the dog's home, yes, I thought. Yeah, very good.
But there is an impound fee, we'll get up to the fee.
Yeah, that's the next
one.
Thank you.
Well, if there's no further matters in relation to the Animal Management Officer's report as such, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
And against? The ayes have it. Which takes us up to the issue of the fees, which is animal management fees.
If I can just add, Mr. Mayor, that the table on page 34 and 35 includes the 26-27 proposed and recommended fee. However, in the actual recommendation, that just ignore, Jim has circulated an updated schedule.
Yep.
You need to look at the actual recommended fees on pages 34 and 35.
Yep.
The statement flows through to the final table. Does that make sense?
They're
the recommended fees
yep.
for 26-27.
And that's what it's.
But they didn't actually.
They're not there. Yeah. So, as long as you're aware of that, councillors, when we vote, so have a look at the fees 35. So, yeah, the recommended fees, the proposed fees.
There is an update.
Does that help everybody? You put down the proposed fees. Any questions about that, because we passed that recommendation. That's what the fees are going to be for 26, 27, yeah?
Yeah.
Can I just ask a question on the 824 advertising licence application? So it's gone from 350 to 520. What does that involve? Is that advertising as well as the licence?
Through Mr. Mayor, thank you, Councillor. We've sought to have a consistent advertising fee applicable to all applications for kennel licensing, for any regulatory, statutory planning issues. So that's a standard fee we'll apply across the board. It's literally cost recovery for application. The costs of advertising through CHEPRIS are quite extraordinary. There might be, we try and lump our advertising into one lump. Say it's a good example of multiple ads in one publication. We can deal on those, but literally it's cost recovery.
Yeah, I just wonder if that will deter some people actually doing the right thing, because it's quite an increase.
It is, and I guess that's where we're very mindful with the cost increase, because when you register a dog, you don't get a lot for that in return to your registration fee.
Yeah.
Certainly, the increase is on the CPI, but that is a big increase from 325 to what's proposed now.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Happy, provide any further comments on that?
Well, only from, in the case of an application for a kennel licence, the applicant actually can elect to advertise it themselves. There is a statutory advertisement and wording. So if they rely on council to place the advertisement, that'll be the fee. Mm-hmm. If they want to take possibly a cheaper option and arrange the ad themselves, there is all the standard wording that they can do.
Yeah.
They'll elect to take that option.
Sure. Thank you.
It's expensive.
But looking at today's paper, we've got a whole column a range of advertisements. I think there's 5 development applications, 3 sale of public land, plus the road closures for Anzac Day, so it'll be
alright.
So really the increase in fees is primarily CPI.
I've had comment quite often from those on the land, why do they have to keep on paying more and more and more to register their dogs? And quite a lot of them are that way now. They register one dog and the other dogs are unregistered.
So the answer to that is there is a cost of providing the service. We only recover about 60% of the cost of providing animal control services, and that recognises that there are other animal control issues other than dogs, so we don't recover the full cost through the dog registration fee. But really, the simple answer is it's a legal obligation to register them.
That's right.
But if you go and get a robot dog, you don't have to register that.
No.
Alright, well, councillors, I've had enough time to digest the fees. I'll ask for a mover and seconder for this fee issue to be resolved by the motion that's before us. Do I have a mover? Councillor Blackman, move and second it.
Change here. This is the first reading, so next month, but with the decision making.
I'll move.
Thank you.
Second.
And Councillor Christie, seconding. Those in favour?
Aye.
Vote against? The ayes have it. Elected members' statements. I have a brief one, and it refers back to an event that occurred a long way in the past now, but it does have a very serious effect on council. It occurred in 1966, where a small child by the name of Timothy Francis Kirkwood, and he attained the age of 60 years of age, almost. And on behalf of every ratepayer in the Southern Midlands and all councillors and the deputy, I would like to pass on very warmest regards and many happy turns of the day.
Here he
is. Well, funny, where you go?
elected member's statement.
Oh, I have a crack.
Yep.
Just a couple from me. Today, Division 4 of the Open Bowls Club are playing Claremont in the grand final at Rosnick. So they would be just about to start, so we wish them all the best. I'm sure Porter and Wari and all the others that are the skips will hopefully bring home the cup. Recently the Mayor and myself attended a meeting of Deputy Mayors and Mayors in Devonport, and it was another informative get-together. It's always good to talk to other people and listen to their problems. And you walk away thinking, we don't really have many problems at all. Uh-huh. The Tunbridge Community Club, I have written it down here, but in a few weeks' time they will be turning 50 years. So that's a great achievement for the small town of Tunbridge. The club is the centre place where people go and have done for many years. It doesn't have the patronage that it did years ago. I can remember going there of a Friday night or a Saturday night years ago and the place would be packed. Of course, a lot of people have passed from up there, but they're still going and they've still got a wonderful committee that are and trying to really keep this place going. So we've all got an invitation. If you wanted to go, that would be wonderful. So I plan to go. And, that's it for me.
Very good. No other elected member statements?
I'd just like to mention that young Izzy Gear from Broadmarsh has been selected in the Hobart Chargers basketball. 18 years old, so I think that's a pretty mean feat for a young lady.
My word.
Yeah, so I'd like to congratulate her for that.
Hobart Chargers?
Basketball, but.
Jules.
Yeah, basketball.
Basketball is different to netball, isn't it?
It's basketball, yeah.
Anyway.
You got me there for a minute, but
no, it's basketball. All right, so good luck, of course, over the future career in basketball. I'm sure she's the bell of food.
Just with the delay of the passage of the, the Greyhound Reform Bill, whatever it's technically called, have we got a position on that, given there's quite a few members of the Southern Midlands involved in the greyhound industry, and have we written to lend them support
in terms of the current state of the debate in that matter, given the fact they seem to not have the numbers?
Well, as a council, we haven't. No. From a personal individual point, I must say I have a strong view about it, which I've expressed publicly, but certainly not as mayor.
When you're talking driving, obviously, the question that comes up to me is, with athletics, we run on a synthetic track. Why can't greyhounds run on a synthetic track instead of having to drag through loose sand and thump their joints on firm surfaces underneath?
No one understands the other time to debate this.
I think the greyhounds are one element of the buildover. It does affect all dog breeding in whatever form it does take, and I don't think that it's been necessarily properly considered the impact that would have on all breeds, not just greyhounds, albeit that that's the headline part of the bill in terms of the racing implications. But if you're looking at number of beaches that can be held in order for breeding any breed of dogs, then you know the ramifications are quite wide ranging. And I think it's worth, you know, potentially pointing that out as part of this ongoing debate, that, you know, it needs to be broadened in terms of the scope they're looking at, i.e. all breeds, not just greyhounds. And I think that's probably a position the council could weigh in on, particularly.
Well, that's a matter for discussion, gentlemen.
We did launch a submission a number of months ago, possibly 12 months, in response to a discussion paper in relation to that breeding of dogs.
I do think it'd be a good time to follow up, given the politics is going on and they don't seem to have the numbers to pass it, but they're, you know, infinitely delaying that. So I think, you know, reiterating that stance would be good.
Specifically in relation to greyhounds, we don't have a position.
But the wider implications of that bill, I think we should have a position on that, given it does have quite significant implications for all dog breeders.
Anyway, that's a matter that we write beyond the.
And the other point that I just wanted to.
Is there any other statement that you want to make there in relation to it?
The other point that I obviously missed the last meeting, did we get to a point with the young mayor and deputy mayor program around the child safe policies? Was that passed last one?
Yes, there was. Clarification, yes, so it did go through the last council meeting.
Yep.
Very good. Other government shared services quarterly update. Information is there.
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Christie.
I'll second.
Deputy. Information needs to be received. Any issues? Put the motion, those in favour. Once again, the ayes have it. Thank you, Councillors. And then we have the monthly financial statement. Again, information. Report of various Submitted Council Brands Project as at the 31st of March. Do I have a move?
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor, the Deputy, and Councillor Campbell. Any issues there? Put that motion open, please.
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And then we get to the financial report of Finance Officer's Report.
Do I have a move?
Thank you, sir. That's the district, thank you. And thank you, Councillor Campbell.
We're going along nicely. Hopefully, I'm sure the General Manager will guide us through the next 12 months, because it's going to be very difficult for everyone.
We're on track, certainly, this financial year, so we're good.
Very good. Just to confirm, the price of bitumen did go up 50%.
Oh, that was, that was certainly an indication of the advice that we received, the bitumen products.
Yeah, it's a blow. All right, thank you.
All right, well, that financial report is to be received. Information name, I'll leave it in a second. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Aye. Thank you.
The only thing, just to see us through to lunchtime, we can close the meeting. AB's just going to give us a quick overview of the review of the strategic plan and send everyone home with a bit of light reading and review. But just so everyone doesn't run away when we close the meeting.
Yeah, and look, also, at the last LGAT meeting, it came to the Southern Midlands Council to provide it's a bit of a show and tell at the next general meeting of the Local Government Association. Every one of those conferences, one council gives an expose of its activities over the last couple of years, and it's our turn. So, if council has got any ideas about some of the input that needs to be done for that, AB has volunteered to lead us on that expose on a whole lot.
So that'll be August?
Yeah, August. So, any ideas, that would be great. And we'll know there are a few ways that we can make that real good at that conference for the Southern Midlands Council. Well, we've got to just conclude with the minutes of the confirmation of the minutes of the closed session previously. So, we do have to. Go into the closed session. So, do I have a move in relation to that?
I move.
Thanks, Deputy. Thank you. Second, Councillor Bancroft. Those in favour?
Aye.
And against, the ayes have it. In accordance with the local government meeting procedures, we're now into closed session, and if the closed members of the public, then Council wants to move out of closed session.
I move.
I'll second.
Again, Councillor Campbell, thank you. And that takes us to closure, and we formally close the meeting at
11:45.
About 11:45, there we go.